I'm Sarah Tomok, and the following is an interview with Kyle Furman of Litchfield. He's currently working to get an amendment to allow raising hens in the Litchfield city limits.
My name's Kyle Furman, chicken advocate is what my father-in-law calls me, so I guess that's as good a title as any.
All right, what does your father-in-law think about all this?
He supports us. It's really been amazing how much support we've gotten from just places we hadn't expected. I mean, in town, out of town, it's been interesting. I've had people send me old government ads from like 1918. They're, you know, Uncle Sam expects you to raise chickens. And, you know, it's just kind of crazy all the support we've gotten from all the different places.
On that note, have you kind of talked to other places that have gone through the same process or anything?
I've been working or gotten support from a gentleman who did the same thing in his town, and he was successful. And he sent me, you know, kind of the stuff he used to get the message out and his facts and everything. And it's been really helpful. And, I mean, our support has been pretty much universal. I haven't really had anyone say, not a good idea. It's just been, it sounds like a good thing to do.
So what has been the process, I guess, leading up to the council meeting first? I think that's probably when the issue first kind of became public. You know, it was in the paper that this guy came to the council meeting and had a presentation.
Right, and that was great, too, because that just blew me away. We weren't kind of expecting we'd get the attention we've gotten.
I mean, you took up majority of that council meeting. That was the shortest city council meeting I've ever been to.
I know. It was a new experience for me. A lot of research, basically we started by reaching out to just our block and making sure everyone supported us. And once we knew that we had that support and we weren't stepping on anyone's toes or ruffling any feathers, I just started taking a look at all the other amendments or ordinances out there that allow chickens and what works. And I was looking both, New York, Seattle, all these big cities, but also in local cities, because Hillsboro allows them, all the suburbs of St. Louis, Staunton and Mount Olive allow them, I believe. I've been told that. So just trying to look for what works and what is fair, because obviously people don't want roosters crowing at 3 a.m. and I don't have roosters in my own yard waking me up at 3 a.m. People don't want to have 400 chickens running around throughout town. So there's definitely, the rules we kind of suggested we feel are fair to both, it allows people to have a few hens and lay eggs and they make great pets and, kind of enjoy those benefits. But then neighbors shouldn't have to worry that it's going to affect them if they don't want to. And I think we found a really good kind of middle ground that works for both parties.
Okay. And if you could, can you kind of go over, in detail what your presentation was at the council meeting as far as what you're proposing for the ordinance change?
So, the rules that we're proposing would be no more than 6 poultry would be allowed on any property, which we kind of picked that number too because the local Royal King, which I feel is where a lot of people are going to get their poultry, and, they have coops already. They're designed for backyards. They have a little book hanging by the chicken feed that's on a hook that says, how to raise backyard chickens. So kind of working with the support that's already there, the local Royal King has a minimum of 6 chickens. So if someone wanted to get chickens, 6 is kind of the magic number. So 6 chickens, all poultry must be egg-laying members of a non-crowing species, and roosters are expressly prohibited because, we don't, that seems to be one of the biggest concerns is what kind of noise they bring. And hens have actually been recorded at their max kind of squawk that they lay, when they lay an egg, they have a vocalization, and it's in the 60 to 70 decibel range. And that's the same range as like a conversation or a flushing toilet or an air conditioning unit. And a rooster is in the 90 decibel ranges. So that's the same range as a lawnmower or a barking dog. So, kind of being mindful of the noise issues. All poultry must be housed in a secure run-in coop, which does not permit any predators. One of the issues that's been raised is they might attract coyotes or, you know, predators to town. But really, again, with the coop designs that are out there, they're all very secure. They don't let the chickens out, so you don't have to worry about, you know, your chickens running across the neighborhood. But they also don't allow any predators in, so you know, that coupled with the next thing, that all coops must be kept in sanitary conditions, void of any offensive odors, you know, that's going to keep any predators from being attracted to the area. And also, you know, again, the general theme of getting along with your neighbors, you don't want a smelly coop. And if it's in your backyard, you probably don't want to be smelling it yourself. So keeping it clean is definitely very important. And going along with that, you know, the average hen produces 1.5 ounces of solid waste every day. The average dog produces 1 pound. So 6 chickens is a little, I think, a little over half of what a dog produces every day. And their waste makes great compost. I mean, we have a huge garden, and we just, you know, mixed our compost from the chickens in with our front beds and everything, and it really enriches soil, and we get a much bigger yield kind of using that resource that's already there. So our kind of issues are, you know, all coops must be 10 feet from the property lines. That way you're not, you know, again, respecting the neighbors. And then we suggested a yearly license. That way the city can make sure, you know, if they're concerned about all of a sudden everyone's going to go out and buy a chicken, maybe, you know, kind of limiting the license the same way liquor license might be limited. So, you know, again, with public nuisance issues, kind of trying to work there. And then I think one of the big things that we really want to recommend is that we want it to be a 2-year trial period. Because, you know, worst comes to worst, if this proves to not be successful or doesn't work for this area, they could always repeal it, but at least they tried. And so, you know, we kind of suggest maybe like 5 or 10 licenses the first year, and then maybe 10 or 20 the next year, something, so it kind of builds. And, you know, because there should be a way for responsible people to be able to raise chickens. And you can't say, well, because some people might not be responsible, no one can do it. I mean, that's un-American, you know. You have to have means for responsible people to be responsible. So that's kind of what we're suggesting.
Okay. And so, I guess, can you talk a little bit about where kind of you came up with this? You'd said you'd talked to a guy from somewhere. Was
I'm
that
trying
kind
to remember
of
some,
where you got
Alverton or something? It's a smaller city, but a lot of this stuff I actually got from like Seattle and New York, and, you know, big cities where they're allowing this. And, you know, Seattle in 2010 changed their rules from only allowing 3 chickens to allowing 8. So I would think that if the chickens were creating this problem that some people are anticipating, they would be trying to roll it back.
Yeah.
And instead they're increasing it because they see the benefit from it. And I mean, there are a lot of places that real estate agents will offer a free coop. You know, it's seen as something, and something that we've definitely noticed from it is that it's great for meeting the neighbors. It's great for having a connection with the people in your neighborhood because, you know, we have extra eggs and I send my kids, you know, go take some eggs to the neighbors, and, you know, they benefit from it too. And, you know, the neighborhood kids are like, ooh, chickens. And they come over and you can kind of, here's where eggs come from. Here's, you know, there's more of that connection both to, you know, the people around you, but also they have more of connection to their food. So I think everyone kind of enjoys that.
So did you have chickens when you were in Springfield?
We didn't.
Okay.
But chickens are legal in Springfield. We just, we were living in an apartment, so we didn't have the opportunity.
Yeah. So. Okay. So have you had chickens before? Like, have you personally raised chickens?
Not before. This is our first time. And, you know, again, it's one of those things that really attracted us to Litchfield was this idea of having space to garden. And, you know, when we were looking, we assumed, oh, well, it's a rural area. Obviously, they're going to allow chickens. That's like such a big part of that kind of, you know, American dream and that kind of thing. And we were really disappointed to find out they weren't allowed. So
So what, I guess, what have you learned in this process of trying to get an ordinance changed? Like I was telling you earlier, like, I don't think a lot of people know offhand, you know, how do you go about changing an ordinance?
It's been a complicated process. It's a little daunting. You know, we, first thing I did was make a presentation to the city council and try to lay out what we thought the benefits were, what we were asking for, and, you know, been reaching out to our aldermen and talking to them and working with City Hall, just trying to get all the information we could from them. So, and again, this is all my understanding, but the next step for us is going to be presenting to the planning committee. And that's where we kind of run into the snag, because what's required is there's a fee for being on the agenda. There's an application process where they say, yes, accept, you know, this is what you're going to propose. And once that's accepted, then there's this kind of issue of you have to make the public aware. And that involves 3 ads in the newspaper at least 15 days before the hearing, putting up posters, which there's a fee with that, and then sending a letter to every person who would be affected by this ordinance change, which in our case, we're trying to push for all of Litchfield because we've gotten the support from all of Litchfield, so it seems only fair that everyone kind of enjoys the benefit of this change. But that requires sending a letter to every single mailing address in Litchfield, and that's very pricey. So that's something we're kind of examining now, how we can accomplish that and kind of work with that.
So what's been kind of the response as far as support from people in the area?
It's been just fantastic. I don't think we'd have the energy to kind of keep fighting this. And you know, this is something that every day we're working on, we're thinking about, we're looking new things up. And if we didn't have the community support, I don't know that we'd be able to be as successful with it as we have been and as successful as we'd like to be. You know, it's everything from people saying, you know, we think we support you, to, again, people sending me information or literature or, you know, providing contacts with different media and just getting the word out and, you know, letting their neighbors know, oh, here's what they're actually asking for, here's what's involved. And it's just the community support's been wonderful. And that's why we're still fighting, because, again, you know, we want everyone to enjoy the benefits that we've seen.
Yeah. So what's been the response from, like, the aldermen and stuff that you've talked to?
It's been generally positive. Alderman Gerald has been just a huge advocate for us, and, you know, he's been fantastic to work with. I kind of would like a little bit more of a chance to have a dialogue with some of the other aldermen who might not be in favor of this, just to kind of see what their fears are. And again, I really think the theme we're looking for is we want common sense to work out for everyone. And I firmly believe there is a way for the public interest and the private interest here to both coincide. So
what's been, I know you talked about it a little bit, but what have been some of the, like, negative attitudes and, like, some of the issues that you've run into with this?
I think the biggest one that's been brought up has been a fear that allowing chickens is somehow going to devalue the property values in Litchfield. And in my research, you know, I find that this is a fear that a lot of people say before ordinances like this are passed, but once it's passed, there's been no evidence whatsoever that a chicken ordinance has devalued properties. In fact, a lot of places, they actually increase property values because they make the community seem more welcoming, more connected, more green, you know, things like that. It makes them seem a little bit more forward-thinking. And when you look across the country, Forbes, in their 10 best places to live, 7 out of 10 of those cities allow chickens. And so even very wealthy communities around here, like I said kind of before with Clayton, the average property value is 5 times greater than that of Litchfield, and they allow chickens, and they've actually seen their property values increase. So I can understand why people might have a fear of property values decreasing. It's just when you actually look at the literature and the information that's out there, it doesn't seem like there's any kind of evidence to back that up.
All right. So I know you kind of talked about kind of what's next as far as, you know, getting yourself on the, was it the Planning Commission?
Planning Committee. And,
committee. But I guess kind of where do you go from here?
Like I said, right now our biggest kind of concern is coming up with the money that's required. And that's a very big barrier to our next step because, you know, like I said, postage alone is over $1,000. And that's not including finding everyone's address and, you know, stuffing envelopes and everything else. So, you know, we're really trying to take a look at that. We've considered crowdfunding. But again, like I said before, one of our big reasons for wanting to have chickens in the first place is ideas of being self-sufficient and not having to ask for handouts and, you know, working hard, enjoying the benefits of your own labor. So we're kind of a little resistant to suddenly saying, hey, can everyone help us pay for this? But I don't know. We're just trying right now to see if there's any other way we could introduce this these amendments that doesn't require thousands of dollars to do so.
And you said that was kind of a recent thing you found out about?
Yesterday.
Okay.
So, and it was, I went in to City Hall. And again, you know, I really appreciate people who are very busy taking time out to meet with me. And, you know, because on the one hand, it's only chickens, but on the other hand, it's chickens. It's something that's important. And they provide me with information. And like I said, it didn't really sink in until I got home, just the scope of how much money was going to be involved. So it's a little daunting when you're just one person, just one family, and the whole reason we're doing this is trying to make ends meet, and all of a sudden there's going to be a very high cost to do this.
But you said you have a lot of support, so.
Yeah, we're really looking out to the community to kind of help us, and I think also if people were to contact their aldermen, kind of contact the city, let them know that they would appreciate, you know, a common sense approach to this, I think there might be other ways of accomplishing this.
All right. Is there anything else you'd kind of like to mention?
Not too particular. We love our chickens. And I, again, like I said, on the one hand, we understand that they might not be for everybody. And that's okay. We just think there's important issues with personal freedom where you can't say that nobody deserves to have this privilege when there are definitely responsible people out there who would benefit from it. And it means a lot of people. We have a petition on change.org right now, and people are able to leave comments. I think for me, one of the comments that really drives it home is we had someone comment that their mother, you know, lived in town, and one of the neighbors had chickens, and she really enjoyed the chickens because they reminded her of her childhood. And then the city made them get rid of them. And so this person was supporting us because she wanted chickens to come back to Litchfield because it made her mom smile. So, you know, there's definitely a very personal connection with these animals. And we think it would just make, it would show that Litchfield is forward thinking. It's willing to work with its, you know, its members. And that, you know, it's still America and one person can still make a change if they really believe in it.
All right. Well, Kyle Furman, best of luck to you in this endeavor, and thanks for coming in and talking to me today.
All right. Thank you very much.